Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Love, Light, and Passion, where award-winning social media professional Wendy Manganiello and her guests talk about turning your ideas and dreams into reality. Wendy believes that every woman can have it all, and she takes away all of the stress that comes with the social media aspect of business by providing a number of resources, including Facebook ad creation and implementation, management, coaching and training, strategy, and so much more. This show is dedicated to the loving memory of Sean Stevenson, whose instinctive ability to motivate others taught Wendy how to take a dream and allow the universe to make it into an abundant reality. Contact Wendy to do the 7 Days to Social Media Sanity Facebook Challenge and have her help you to make your goals and actions match your business plan. Don't end this year not socially ready for next year. And now, your host, Wendy Manganiello.
Welcome, everybody. I am so glad, as always, that you are here, whether you're listening to this show live or after the fact. I'm always excited to have another show. We are privileged, again, to have somebody from the Love Light group from Sean. We have a new guest, and I'm really excited to have her on air. I had put a call out when we were coming back on air and said, I need guests, and Lisa was one of the first people to respond. So her name is Lisa, and I'm going to put her on air so I don't, even though she sent it to me, chop up her last name. Rerek?
It's Rehurek.
I'm sorry. So I'm Manganiello is no better, so I apologize for that. But I'm really excited because she is a business and social media strategist, and I feel like there's somebody who's out there with the, you know, same type of passion. And as we were talking before the show, and she is really a business strategist who has a social media savvy side. So I'm so excited about this. And then she's author and speaker, and she is a premier success coach with eWomen Network, which, if you do not know, that is how the beginning of how I met Sean was through eWomen Network. And I've talked about this on the show before with other guests that we've had on the air, but it is a phenomenal resource. So I would encourage all the women listening to go and Google eWomen Network and see if you have a local chapter, because one of the perks is that you get to work with their success coaches, and like Lisa, you might have to remind me, but you get a discounted rate, or you get a free, you get 2 15-minute free coaching sessions, I think, with it, and then so that's actually, and that's a funny story, Lisa, that's actually, I had known Sean from eWomen Network forever, and it wasn't until I moved and came to visit New Jersey, because I'm in Kentucky now, that that's how I ended up working with her, was through the, when she became a success coach. And we'd known each other prior to that. I'd done work with her before.
Interesting.
Yes. So I am a big advocate for utilizing those coaches. I think that is a great match. And there's not just you, but there's different ones that you can go and different resources, they had success coaches on cluttering and on business. And so it's not just business related. It's also when you need things in your personal life too. So I'm a real big advocate for that. But welcome to the show, Lisa. I'm so excited you're here.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here, too. And that's actually exactly how I met Sean, is through the Premier Success Coach program.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? It's such a small world, but I'm thoroughly excited. And I really cannot wait until somebody comes to Louisville and picks up eWomen Network. We don't have one here.
That's rough.
Yes. And I do miss it, because I really loved the South Jersey one. I was very, very connected in there. So, but we are going to talk, I ended up naming the show after this because, in full disclosure, I asked my guests for topics, and I this has totally piqued my curiosity. Because I'm like, oh, this is great name. It will martini mindset. Right? As soon as everybody sees martini, they're going to want to, you know, watch this or listen to this. So I want to get right into it because I want to know more about what this martini mindset is and why it's important. And then I'll go backwards and ask you how you got into your business. But this is really kind of exciting. So we can start there.
Okay. I love it. You know, you're right. It is a very catchy name and people are always like, oh my gosh, what does that mean? And I love that because it perfectly represents me and my business and of course, the program that's called the Martini Mindset. But the Martini Mindset is really all about for each of us finding our own unique blend of ingredients that fit together to make the perfect, you know, what I like to call the mixology of what we represent for our businesses. And, you know, here what's funny about it, Wendy, is that a lot of times people are like, well, that just seems really obvious, especially people that maybe aren't in business. But when we start a business and when we're in business, it is so hard to remain true to ourselves because we get pulled in a gazillion different directions, right? We've got to follow this formula or we've got to listen to this guru or this is the only way to make money is if I do it this way. And really the only way to be successful in business is to know what you want in your heart and your soul and know what you can do to serve people and follow that path and take the bits and pieces that you learn from other people, but stop trying to copy everybody else and stop worrying about everybody else's expectations. Find your mix of ingredients and follow that. And that's the best way to find success and find happy success, right? Which is the key.
And here, you know, you bring up a very interesting point. So that this actually leads me to be able to go backwards, because usually when people, at least this has been my experience, find that, meaning that you need to following all the masses, stop following this person said this person, you know, and kind of be true to yourself. It's because it's through personal experience that we realize that, and then we're able to help other people get there. So what's your background that got you here? Because I've never met anywhere who's just woken up and said, I got this, but it's usually a process to get there. So what's your background that you got here?
Yeah, it's been a process. And frankly, even my life has been a process with this exact thing. The reason that I teach this and the reason that I'm so passionate about, you know, the martini mindset and what it stands for is because my whole life has been thinking that I needed to follow somebody else's footsteps, thinking that I needed to do things a certain way. And every time something not good would happen, I wouldn't say anything bad happened necessarily, but I wasn't happy. And so I'd have to course correct, and then I'd maybe be a little rebellious, or people thought there was something wrong with me, or people thought I had ADD, which I've not ever been diagnosed with. People just thought I wasn't paying attention, and I wasn't a good kid, and that wasn't it at all. It was just that I was trying so hard to force myself into a path that wasn't my path, and it was painful. And the minute that I got onto the path that was mine, oh, my gosh, it was like this weight off my shoulders. And so just to give you a little bit of background, a professional background, I spent about 20 years in the corporate environment, and I did bounce around a decent amount until I found a company that had, quite frankly, a pretty entrepreneurial spirit. There was a small specialty practice within this consulting company that I worked with, and they kind of just kept creating positions for me, and I got to build from the ground up and create it the way, for the most part, the way I wanted it to look. And that's what kept me there for a little over 11 years. But I started getting antsy at the end, and I knew that I wanted to try my own business, but I had no idea what that looked like. I had no role models. Like, nobody in my family or in my world was an entrepreneur who started a business, so I didn't even know what that looked like, but I was feeling that pull. So I started little, you know, I started like a multi-level marketing business. I probably started three or four of them, frankly. And then I started a professional organizing business because I thought, well, I'm really good at that. So, of course, this is the best thing for me to do, right? And that wasn't it either, because it isn't just about what we're really good at, right? There's this combination of things, again, that unique mix of ingredients of what we're passionate about, plus what we're good at, plus what the market is asking for. You've got to kind of get all three of those. So the organizing thing wasn't my thing either. And I was doing all this on the side while I was in corporate America, and I got a call one day from an old colleague, and he said, hey, I just came into a bunch of money. I want to go start some businesses, and I want you to come and be my business partner. And I was like, oh, my God, they're, like, handing this to me on a silver platter. Of course I'm going to go do this. And so I jumped out with him to build these businesses. And for the most part, that whole experience was a very hot mess. It was a big nightmare. And when I decided to end that partnership and leave and start my own business, it was honestly, Wendy, my first real professional failure, what I really considered a professional failure. And I had to figure out why, like what went wrong. I did a lot of soul searching. And what it came down to was those businesses were not my passion. Again, it was stuff that I was really good at, but I didn't have any skin in the game as far as my heart and my soul. And I didn't share in the vision of it, and I had no passion for it. So as soon as things went a little wonky, I was miserable. And so that's really how I started my own business and how I dove deep to figure out what went wrong and how I could not repeat myself in that hot mess and start something that I really wanted and start something that was going to serve people. And so while I'm a business strategist, everything that I do is predicated on, you know, what I call the martini mindset, which is that find your mix, or everything's going to fall apart at some point.
You know, it's so interesting because I swear, I think you just told my story.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Oh my, you have no... I started a nonprofit, but I moved up in management, but I left due to ill son, but I was, what am I going to do? And I started my own business, but then I got a call and I got invited in, and the amount of things that I learned that I would not repeat in my own business and who I was is incredible. From that experience,
right?
It started out okay, but the that's why I was telling you before we got on the air, like I stick in my calling, and my calling is social. That's just what I do because that's my calling. But I had to learn that through that experience that I don't want to, that's not what I want to do. I don't want to do other things. That's not who I am. That's not in my mix. So that is so funny because I was like thinking, and I was taking a recent challenge, and I was like, oh my gosh, you could be my biz BFF. That's what they call them there, because it's the story, exactly the thing. But it was such a learning experience for me to know and be confident in what I do and who I am by finding out what I was not called to do because I was just good at it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you make a really good point there because I think that that is actually the clearer path to find out what we don't want.
Uh-huh.
And I think what happens to us is that we start thinking that there's something wrong with us, or that it's a bad thing to not want something, or that we're being judgmental because we don't want to do something or work with certain people or whatever that looks like. But I swear I have learned so much more based on what I do not want than I ever did when I was trying to look for what I do want. And
right.
So I love that you made that point because that's very true.
Yeah, I was just listening. I'm like, oh my God. And that's how I found Sean. That's hysterical because I was supposed to start with her in August. This is what's really funny. I had seen, no, I I saw her in July. I was supposed to start at the end of August with her. In the midst of me leaving New Jersey, coming back to Kentucky, within a week I had left the partnership. And I wasn't thinking I was going to make any major decisions until we started coaching. And I called her. I was like, well, about that coaching thing, I just want to let you know. I left my job, and that's where we're starting with. I had the company up and running in 2 weeks. I had my current company up and running in 2 weeks. And I was like, but I knew after I went to an eWomen event that I knew on the ride. Well, it took a couple days after that I knew that I couldn't do what I was doing anymore. That was it just felt so unauthentic to me.
Yeah.
To do that anymore. And I don't have any, I so love that person, but I just knew that that wasn't for me anymore. And that I had to follow who I was.
Yeah.
And so it's incredible that you said that. I'm just amazed.
Yeah, I know. Just love it. I love the serendipity of some of these conversations. It's so fun. Especially with Sean at the core of it, right?
Right, exactly. Exactly. So, and so when you work with people, and we have some other things to talk about, but how do you, because this is a big catalyst, and, you know, we talk about, you know, learning about what you don't want to do, but there's still, for a lot of entrepreneurs or people who are about to step out into that, you know, that they're just comfortable with it, you know, and do you think that there is that point where it has to be that clean break, or it has to be that there's a catalyst of some sort that happens to say, okay, I'm ready to live in my own authenticity? Or
no,
how do you get people there, or try to help people get there?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's very black and white. You know, I think it is it's a process, and I think that it's a continuous process, that even now that I feel solid in it, it still evolves on a pretty regular basis. So when my clients come to work with me, generally they're coming in and we're doing, you know, they think, right, they're hiring me to do a business strategy of some sort.
Uh-huh. Right.
But what ends up happening is the very first thing that I do with them is we start talking about the foundation, because, you know, you're a social media strategist. If they don't know what their foundation is, nothing else will work. Everything else will feel so hard. The rest of the strategy is actually really easy when you know your foundation. So we sit down and we talk about, you know, for me, trying to get a lot of clarity around what it is that they want. And I can just tell. I can tell when they're forcing it. I can tell when they're not in love with it. I can tell pretty intuitively. And then we stop and we say, okay, you know, let's back up. And this strategy might look really different. Maybe this isn't going to be a business strategy. Maybe this is going to be a soul-searching strategy. Like, here are some of the steps that you need to go to really find out what it is that you want. And for everybody, it looks a little bit different depending on where they are in that path. But, you know, I give them homework assignments and action steps to go explore a little bit. Like, I just had a client the other day. We did a VIP day, and she thought she knew exactly what she wanted when she came in, and of course we blew that all to pieces. And now I've got her doing things that she's never done before, because I just want her to think outside of her very corporate box that she's been in for 30 years, right? So
right.
I just got her doing things that are completely out of the norm that she fought me on, but I think we've got to look at things through different eyes and just explore and write down, again, what it is that you don't want, and don't worry about being selfish. That is a time to get selfish with it. You know, what do you not want, and what do you want?
So when you work with people, because, and this will lead to your next question, because I think there is a mindset that there's passion, and then there is taking yourself so seriously and getting into the, especially as an entrepreneur, where you start to do that tailspin of, okay, I you know, because an entrepreneur, you're either making money, you're not making money, you know what I mean? They generate crazy circles and without a plan. I understand that. So how, because if you're in that circle of, oh my gosh, I have too much work, I don't have enough, you know, and how do you take a break to have fun doing the business strategy and working in your business so that you're not so, because I think a lot of, I don't think it starts out that way, but at some point in time, I think every business owner goes from that switch that it was, I love this, this is my passion, and it's going well, and now I'm a little wrecked that it's going well, or, you know, or it's not going as I planned, and now I'm going into stress mode instead of a, I really love what I do, and it's going to show through.
Yeah.
Some fun with it.
Yeah, you know, fun is, I have six pillars of the Martini Mindset, and one of them is fun, you know, celebration and play and having fun in your business. And, you know, for me, fun is essential. The minute that I stop having fun, something's wrong. Like, I've got to kind of recalibrate. And so what I tell people, because it's true, what happens is that we get so embedded in the day-to-day stuff of our business, which is not why we start our businesses, right? For 99% of the people, they start their business because they're passionate about something other than business. You know, I'm passionate about business, so that's okay for me. But for so many people, and they get so trapped in the day-to-day, all the administrative stuff and the selling and the marketing, which is so huge, and they're not getting to serve as much and do the piece of it that they really love to do. So, you know, a couple of things. Number one is, and this sounds so obvious, but number one is that I tell them to define what fun is to them, because fun is different for all of us, right? So define what fun is and then schedule it into your calendar, whether it's 15 minutes in the middle of the day to turn on some really great music and dance around a little bit. You know, frankly, one of the things that I make myself do, this is so silly, is that if I'm having one of those days where I just feel grumpy and I'm annoyed, and I tend to notice that, like, when I'm driving down the road, I'm just annoyed with traffic and annoyed with everybody around me, is I make myself laugh for 2 minutes. And it is the most ridiculously silly exercise, but it's so much fun because you start out with this fake laugh, but then you realize that what you're doing, and then you just can't help but start laughing. And it just kind of breaks up the monotony of the grumpiness or the annoyance or whatever it is. And for me, it always makes me realize that, you know, I just need to not take things so seriously. So those are just a couple of things. I also encourage us all to celebrate our wins, especially the small wins, because we would tend to always celebrate the big wins or tell people about the big wins, and we'll remember them because they're really obvious. But, you know, we've got a ton of little tiny baby small wins on a daily basis that add up to so much in our businesses. And I don't know about you, but there are days where I'm like, what have I done in the last week? I feel like I haven't gotten anything accomplished because they weren't really big, awesome, obvious wins. But if you kind of keep track of those things and celebrate those littler things, then you're going to remind yourself how badass you are and how awesome you are. And that's really important to keep your head above water with all of that stuff. And then one more thing that I'll say. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I love that because I think that, I know for me, I don't know about you, if I could have like 100 appointments and get to every one of them that day, but I'm in my world, I'm like, I haven't sat at my computer today. I didn't work. And it took me a long time to realize that all of that stuff is work and successes. But it's a mindset change that I literally had to tell myself, no, if you did all of those today, you were working. It's just not your, and then learning how to do that schedule so that there was a balance. But it's about that mindset change.
It is. And I think for any of us that came out of corporate, right, mm-hmm. that had like we were employees in a job at some point, it is a really interesting shift because when you're in a job, when you're an employee, it's very task-oriented, right? And
you're
paid to finish this task and move on to the next task, and it just doesn't work that smoothly when you own your own business. And so there's a huge mind shift there into being a business owner and owning that space, and it doesn't have to be so specifically task-oriented. There's a lot that we do on a regular basis. And I have a success jar, Wendy. I've got this little jar that I bought at Michael's. It's a little cheap jar. I keep it on my shelf. And every time something amazing happens, little or big, or even a failure that I've overcome, I write it on a slip of paper, I fold it up, and I put it in the jar. And that way, it's all there, and I can pull those out and read them on a, you know, on a regular basis, or when I'm feeling down, or at the end of the year, I love dumping that whole jar out and reading through all of them. It's so fun.
That's really incredible. And I was thinking about the fun thing. So, because I've really done, even in my own business, like this, where I realized I was constantly working through lunches, and I was like, this is not, something was really off for a little bit. So I started to, it was so funny, I saw it online, and then I forgot about it, but I was at Walgreens and I saw an adult coloring book.
Yes.
So it has been the best. I shut off everything for an hour a day. I have my lunch and I color, and it's been this phenomenal mental health break in the middle of the day, because then I can say, okay, this is what I accomplished this morning. I take that break and then I feel like re-energized to go accomplish more in the afternoon without all that stress. Because I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like a lot of times entrepreneurs, they don't know how to take care of themselves because they're just trying in their head to get everything done. And so taking that break is imperative.
I completely agree with you. You know, Brendan Burchard, he always says you should work for 50 minutes and then take 10 minutes off.
Uh-huh.
Work 50, take 10 off. And, you know, that's hard. I find it hard to do because once I get in the groove, I don't want to stop. But, you know,
right.
Here's the deal. When you stop to have some fun, right, what happens is that your mind, like you just said, Wendy, your mind actually becomes more creative, right?
Uh-huh.
And when you're more creative, then you can solve your problems, your challenges. You can get more creative with your marketing and sales. You can just solve those challenges more easily and faster than you would if you're stressing and trying to push through them. So what's funny is so many people think they don't have time to have fun in their business, but frankly, the reality is that you don't have the time not to have fun. It's an imperative thing to stop and do, and again, whatever that looks like for you. I have a coloring book, too. A friend of mine sent it to me, and I thought, well, this is kind of silly, and now I'm in love with it. I think it's the best thing ever.
It really is, and it's so funny because my son's like, you're coloring, mommy. I'm like, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I am coloring. He's like, can I color with you? Yes, you can. You know, so on the days he's here, it's a good thing for us to, you know, shut off everything and do it together too. But it's amazing to me because, and I think you're right. And the other thing that I've realized is those problems that I have before lunch, which I think are huge, they're not necessarily problems by the time, because sometimes they resolve themselves with the fact that I've let it go for that hour. You know, that's
yes.
The other thing too. It's amazing how that works.
It is amazing how that works. You know what? Because I tend to be a thinker, right? Like I can solve problems, I can fix anything, but I have, in my past life, done that by forging ahead and taking action and just pushing through it. But what happens is that if you take that time to feel it a little bit more and to take some time off, that answer is going to come to you. It's going to come to you instead of us pushing through it all the time. And don't get me wrong, it's important to take action, but it's also important to take that time off, because if you don't, the action a lot of times is going to be for nothing. You know,
so,
there's one last thing, too, I wanted to say about, in answer to this question, because this is something also that I encourage my clients always to do, is that when you're in business, you always need to be thinking about how you can bring other people in to support you. And I know that business owners tend to be afraid to do this, but at the end of the day, in in my professional opinion, strongly believe that we should be doing, spending our time doing the things that we love the most and taking care of our clients and focusing on selling. That's where we should be spending the majority of our time. And all of that other stuff is better suited for somebody who is passionate about that piece of the business, right? So start offloading things and delegating. Even if it's something small, even if you hire a VA for 5 hours a month, that could maybe cost you $100, $150 for the whole month. Start small or get an intern or do something that you can do to start delegating and outsourcing some of those tasks that are not a good use of your time, and you're going to end up having more fun in your business. You're going to love your business so much more.
And I think that's true, too, because I think that we as entrepreneurs try to control everything and think we're better than anybody else. And that makes me laugh. And I'll tell you why. This is what I've realized, especially by what I do, because there is this, as far as the social aspect, and you can let me know if you, that they think that they should know everything about social. And I'm like, but it only really started 10, 15 years. I mean, really start. I mean, and I laugh. I'm like, how would you know? This is not the marketing we grew up on. I don't expect anybody to know it. Like, I live it, so that's different. But in the normal person, right? I'm like, no, you know what your passion is. And there's this expectation out there that they're all supposed to know what they're supposed to be doing socially. And I'm like, no, because that's not what you're passionate about. And there's an embarrassment when I work with entrepreneurs, CEOs, that they don't know how to do it.
And yeah, isn't that funny? Because we do. We get that, like, oh, my gosh, we need to know everything. And you can't possibly, I mean, with social media, you can't even know it all. And you're an expert in it, right?
So, on me, trust me. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. You today.
Right.
Every day, I'm like, oh, what am I waking up to? It makes your life very interesting all the time.
Exactly.
But, you know, there is this thing, and I think that realizing that you don't know how to, it helps you run your business. And I know that people, but then that becomes the fear about money. So it's that, okay, I'm an entrepreneur. I know I'm not supposed to know any, but I don't think I can afford any of this. And I sometimes find it more expensive not to afford it than to afford it because there's no growth there.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And here's the hard truth. And this is one of the first questions that I ask my clients when they come to work with me is that, you know, do you want a hobby business or do you want a real business? And if you want a real business, part of that is putting your big girl pants on and saying, okay, I've got to make some decisions. I've got to take some risks. I've got to do some things that are not comfortable for me. And the very first thing that you're probably going to do that's not comfortable is starting to hire and outsource things, whatever that looks like. You don't have to hire employees. There are a gazillion ways that you can do it. There are ways to start small. But you've got to do it if you're going to be a real business. There's just no way around it.
Right. Right, because there is at some point in time where you can't do it all. You just can't. And and knowing what that is, like I laugh, my bookkeeper will be on as we get closer to the holidays because she's going to talk about budgeting during the holidays. But I crack up because I'm like, I'm so glad I have you and you tell me how much I make every month because it would never get done. It would just never, it's not where... And it's so funny because I'm going to school for my MBA, but it's not where my passion lies at all. And she's like, numbers are the best thing I've ever seen. I'm like, God love you, because not for me, not for me. So, and I think that that's key is to know not only what you're passionate about, and there are some things that I can still do, and if I really had to, I could do it, but knowing that that's not a good use of my time to stress over any of that stress.
Yeah, it's true. And you know what? That's the first thing I got rid of was my bookkeeping because I hate it so much. So the easiest thing to do is offload something that you hate to do because you're not going to miss it. You might have a little bit of an issue with the money or whatever that looks like, but you're not going to miss the task because you hate it so much. So, yeah.
And it frees up your time to have a little fun in the day as opposed to saying, oh, I have to start this. And there is a balance, I know, to get people there, but it does make all of the difference. But so let's talk about strategies for a little bit. And let's talk about the kind that you do, because I think that it's key. I think that, you know, I know from my experience is that when I work with a new client and I'm just doing the social, because Facebook wants you to really know your target audience, especially if you're running ads, you might as well not run them if you don't. And that is the hardest thing for me to pull from a new client. I don't know about just in the marketing world of if you have this target, then you'll get the outskirts of that target. But you really need to know who your target is. And it has to be that one of the hardest things I have to pull out of my clients when we're discussing, they're like, well, people. I'm like, okay, let's narrow that a little bit.
Right.
So what strategies do you do? And why is it so important? Because, you know, why is it so important not to just throw all those stones and hope that a couple of them reach the bottom? Because that's really essentially what I see a lot of entrepreneurs do.
Yeah.
And feel for them. Trying to
I know.
In.
Well, you know what? I was one of them for sure. It was painful for me to go through. And I think that, you know, I don't think I've ever had any client come to me that knows. They think they know, but that really knows who their target audience is. And it's a big part of what we do. You know, remember when I was talking about how we spend a lot of time on that foundation?
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of it, too. It's like, who is it that you're serving? And when they come to me, here's our fear as entrepreneurs is that we're so afraid we're going to leave somebody out. And so, oh my God, this can help anybody. And so we're so passionate about what we do that we know that that we can help anybody and everybody, or this big, huge group of people over here, and we don't want to leave anybody out. But the deal is that it doesn't mean that you're going to leave somebody out if they come and they want to work with you and you want to work with them. It doesn't mean you're going to say no. But it's for marketing purposes. And I think that there's a big distinction there. You can't market to everybody. Because what happens when you try to market to everybody, and you, of course, know this, Wendy, but when you try to market to everybody, nobody sees it. And
that's
if you think about when you're like, when you're just scrolling through your Facebook newsfeed, you know, you're just scrolling through until something catches your eye. And the only way something's going to catch your eye is if it directly relates to you in some way, or maybe there's a cute picture or something like that. But really, what you want to do is you want to hit your client. I have a coach who has always said this: hit your clients between the eyes. Like, you want to say something that they know you are specifically talking to them. And you're going to get so many more clients that way, but you can't talk specifically to them if you don't know who they are. So you got to know who they are in order to get the messaging right, in order to get the social media platform or any marketing platform right, in order to get all your action steps right. I mean, I've got clients that come to me that say, well, I've got a strategy, and I've been doing all these action steps that we set up, but nothing's working. And I'm like, okay, well, let's reverse engineer this and go back to the beginning. And it's always in that foundation. What is not set right that is making everything else either harder or it's not working? One of those two things that's happening, guess what? You don't have your foundation set right.
And I so agree with that. That lends itself to social too, because there's so much noise out there. And that's the key thing, is that what you said. It has to hit that. Because it's all noise, it's so important to have clarity on who your market is, because if you do not, it's just more noise. And
it is.
Because,
what did I say, like 3 seconds? We have 3 seconds.
We have 3 seconds. And because it's all noise, if you don't know, like I said, if you don't know who your target is and what you're trying to do, you might as well just put your name in the phone book, which is equivalent to.
It's true.
I mean, because it's all imperative. But and then take me to the next step, because that you're right. It's all about the foundation, knowing who you're going to serve. Absolutely. But then. What are you going to serve them so that you don't become overly broad and then irrelevant?
Yes, and you know, here's what's interesting is that I also find that there tends to be kind of a big hole between once they know who they serve and they really know how they solve the problem that their ideal client has, but there's this big hole in the middle of what their ideal client believes that they need. Or believes that they want.
Right.
Which is oftentimes not what we know the problem is. As the experts, we can see it. But if they don't know it yet, you've got to meet them where they are. So, you know, you've got to have an offering that meets your clients where they are. And then eventually you can get them to the solution that the bigger solution that you've got. But you can't punch them in the face with that if they don't know that that's their problem.
Right.
So there's a little bit of massaging that goes on there. And then, you know, once you know that and you know what you're offering them, you know, then that strategy piece comes into play, and it's really easy to do at this point. Then it's like, what are your goals for the next 12 months? And we really map that out, and then we reverse engineer and map out the specific strategies that are going to support you reaching those goals. And that's where the social media piece comes in and all of the different marketing avenues and you know, what's going to get you to that goal. And so that's really what the strategy process looks like, but a good, I would say easily 50% of it is spent in that foundational element.
And let me ask you something, because I may be the strange one out for social media things, because you can definitely get leads through social media. A question. I'm just curious as how you deal with this, because if you get a client a lead through social, they have to know what they're offering after the lead comes through. What I find. They go, okay, we got this, or we're not getting whatever it is. And I'm like, well, what are you doing? Here's the lead. Because I still am under. I mean, obviously not with everybody, because I work with clients all over the country and so do you, but there still has to be a human element behind that where they feel like they know you as a person. And yes, you can do that socially, but there's got to be either a Skype call or but people still need humanness. And so how do you work with your clients through that? Because social is great, and I do it, so obviously I'm not going to tell you that it's not, but I always find that that's the part that lacks afterwards.
Yeah, you know, I totally agree, and I think that we're in even a bigger time right now of needing human connection, because I think that we've gone through this, you know, the internet has evolved, and now people are like, okay, the internet's fantastic, but I've kind of gotten screwed because I bought from people that I didn't have that human connection with, so now I want it. And I find that that's coming back into play in a huge way. And so, you know, I think there's a few things, right? So from our perspective as social media strategists, that engagement is really big. So let me give you an example. So, you know, all the live streaming apps are really hot right now. Periscope's really hot. And people will be like, well, I didn't sell anything. I did my first Periscope, and I didn't sell anything. And, you know, what's funny about that is that's not really how it's meant to be. Like, take those conversations offline. Get in a conversation on Twitter with them, and then lead them into maybe a one-on-one conversation with you. Or if you have a video or a video series that they can look at, because that gives a little bit more of a human element, right? Because they can see you live if it's not from Periscope or something. And so it really, you know, I hate to use the term, it depends, but it depends on, you know, ultimately what they're trying to get them to do. But always offline conversations if you're trying to sell them into something bigger. If you've got a smaller product, for a lower price product, give them a video, interact with them on social media. I find that you do too, and these people will be like, okay, I've got the social media strategy. I'm going to put a bunch of quotes up. I'm going to do this video. I'm going to do all of these pieces. And then they think they just sit back and wait.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really about engaging and asking questions and going out to other groups on social media and meeting people and adding value and showcasing your value and not being stingy with your advice and your value and just being seen, really.
And the other part, very good that you say that, because a lot of times with because we had traditional marketing for so long, not having it one-sided. I can't tell you how many times I have talked to clients and said they don't necessarily care about the 150 before and afters. Although you want to tote what's going on in your company, I understand that, but you can't do that 24/7. Because you're losing the fact that it's supposed to be about those that you are targeting and how you're going to be useful to them. And so you're right about the selling and, you know, sit back, but then not getting into the rut of always about me. And it's always about me. I can't tell you how many conversations I'm like, okay, I know this is what you think is good content, but what value did you serve while we were writing this to who you're targeting? Because they can
honestly, they don't really, our clients don't really care about us. I mean, the credibility piece comes, I would say, third. It comes down the road. Yes, if they're getting ready to hire us, they're going to make sure we're credible, but they don't care about us. They want to know what's in it for them. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? What's in it for me? So you've got to talk to them in their language. You've got to talk to them, and you've got to engage with them, and you've got to add that value. I completely agree with you, and it isn't that one way I'm talking at you like traditional marketing has been, and even social media and internet has been that way as it's been evolving, but I definitely have seen a change in the last couple of years, and I feel like with live streaming, people have glommed onto live streaming. It's been really hot out of the gate, and I think that's because people are craving that interaction. They want that that value and that interaction versus just being told and talked to.
And the other thing, and we'll go back to targeting for just one, because this is very key, because I don't know if you get this. I have clients who call me up and they've never even heard of Pinterest, but they will call me up and say, I have to be on Pinterest now, or whatever the hottest thing is. It doesn't matter what it is. It is like the newest, hottest, I have to be on this and I have to be on this. And my first question is, well, how many of your target market is actually using that? Because if you're like, you have a certain connection and this is what they're doing, And I'm like, but is your particular, not anybody else's, not what your friends are doing who are not buying from you, but they happen to be great girlfriends. You know what I mean? But so that's my other key thing is to knowing, and you let me know if you agree. And that goes for traditional marketing too. I mean, when you look, because I think there needs to always be a good mix, it has to be around, where are the people that you're trying to serve? I mean, like, and I compare it to, you wouldn't go in Golf Magazine if you're trying to sell mommies with babies. You know what I mean? That may not be your target there. And so I look at it the same way. Do you have that issue when you're working? Well, not issue, but do you have to train people in that right kind of thinking?
All the time.
Okay.
And not just that, but also, like, I need to be playing on all of these platforms. And I'm like,
right.
No, you need to pick, like, the one or two and get those down well before you move on to the next one. But I get that all the time. They don't have any idea who's there or what's there. But they'll say, but I spend, like, hours every day on Pinterest. And I'm like, yeah, but you're looking for recipes and you're, you know, a business coach. So...
Exactly. I'm like, Well, what are you looking for? Well, if you're in that business, that's great. But everybody else, I feel like I have to be on more because of what I do. But that's different because it's what I do, but it's not what you do.
Right, exactly.
You know? So, because I'll tell people, I'm like, oh, no, I'm open on here and I'm public here. And they're like cringing. And I'm like, it's what I do, though. And I know how to present myself well there. So it's a different type of atmosphere because it's what I do. So I don't have but it's a funny thing trying to teach your client to say no, because it goes back to and is trying to do too many things as an entrepreneur.
Yep. Trying to do too many things and not focusing. Yeah, and that's part of the strategy, right? Is if you have a solid strategy in place, then you're going to know what to focus on, right? And even if you start to get distracted, that strategy is based on what you said you wanted by the end of the year, right?
Right.
What you said was going to be define success for you in the next 12 months. And you've got to come back to that strategy. And that's why, people say, well, I don't really need a strategy. I've got to do this. I know what I want in my head. And I'm like, it's not the same thing. If you don't have a solid strategy, you're going to get derailed. It's like you're going to be going, 100 miles an hour heading towards Mississippi when you really want to be in California.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to have that strategy to help you focus, to help you stay on track with what you want. And, I've had people that come to me that we've had a conversation, and I bet you have too, Wendy. We have people that come to us, and they'll have this conversation, and they'll say, this is what I really ultimately want. Here's what my goals are for the next 12 months. But you know what? I think I can do this myself. It's like, hey, and I'm not saying you can't do it yourself, for sure. There are definitely ways to do it yourself. But then a year later, they'll come to me, and they'll say, okay, it's a year later, and I didn't come anywhere close to what I wanted. Generally because of that focus piece.
Or it's a focus piece, and I have had it where they have come back and said, oh, yeah, everything you said in the strategy, I should have did, but because I thought my way was better. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just in general, because they want to be an expert in that area, and you're like, okay, I gave you all of the stuff, and I've had them come back and say, now I see why you said that. And that's okay, because we're not going to – I never force, and I'm sure you don't either, because you can only get that lead the horse to water, and then you have to say, okay.
Right.
So, which brings us back to what we were originally talking about, is that clarity and knowing your passion and your foundation and being able to really build that.
Yeah. And it really becomes this amazing cycle, is that, when you've got a solid strategy in place and you're working towards that ultimate passion, you're working with that passion for your goals that you set that are based on your passion, that are based on your excitement, then you're all the way around, everything's going to be better because you're going to be spending your time doing more of the things that you love to do and less of the things that you don't love to do. And I have to say, I'm a business strategist. I know business really well. But it behooves me to have a business coach. And though a lot of the things that my business coach might tell me are things that I already know, there are a gazillion things that there are always to learn, right?
Uh-huh.
And we can't see, when we're inside it, we just can't see for ourselves. We need people to call us out on our crap, and we need people to push us beyond our limitations, beyond our comfort zone. We just always need that. So I always have a business coach because of that. So I don't think we ever are too expert to have somebody in our corner to help us out.
And I agree with you because it's funny because Sean obviously was my coach. So it took me, I had the opposite because she passed away. I was trying to find one. And then I realized I was trying to find one and compare them to her, which is difficult, and I had to get into the right mindset to not do that anymore because I didn't realize I was doing it. When you're just doing something and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's why this isn't working. I can't set that expectation for other people. But I have one too, and it's imperative for me. And it's so funny is because again, saying what I know, I'm like, yep, do I have my strategy set? Do I have, you know, because otherwise I'm way off course on my own business. I'm completely off course saying, oh, I can do it all, and I just need to zone into these areas. I think we all do it. And we all need that other, other voice, that other voice to say, well, let's look at it this way.
That's so true.
Otherwise, forget it. I am so happy that you came on the show. I really feel like that we got to get some heart-to-heart stuff and help our, you know, my listeners. So I always ask this question at the end of the show, so I want to ask you, if you could sum up your experience as a coach in one word, what would it be?
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's such a hard one, but I ask everybody to put it.
Experience, evolutionary.
Oh, I like that. That's a new one. We haven't had that one on the show.
Oh, awesome. I love that.
You can tell us a little bit. We have about 2 minutes. You can tell us a little why you would say that, but I think that's a great word.
Yeah, you know, I think that we've been talking about it for the last hour, really, is that it has evolved for me, for sure, evolved in how I serve my clients, and I feel like every one of my clients that comes to me is also going through an evolution, and I did not know coming out of corporate that this entrepreneurial journey would be such a personal development journey along the way. I had no idea that that's what it was going to be. And so it's just evolved, and I've evolved, and my clients have evolved, and it's been amazing. I don't think being an entrepreneur is for everybody, but I think that if you're listening and you know you're called to be an entrepreneur, you know, hold on to your horses, because it's going to be a wild ride, but do it, because it's so rewarding.
I totally agree with you. I was looking at, I had time pop up on, and it was 6 years ago that I could take my son to school for the first time and pick him up afterwards. And I was like, I am so grateful every day. It has not been a ride in the park. There's been highs and lows, but I would not trade it for anything in the world. I just, you know, because the experience and being able to grow in my own comfortability and learn about myself and who I am and be confident in who I am. It has been nothing short of miraculous and because when you're in corporate, you think you have it all. You're like, because it's task oriented, and being able to go with the ebb and flow of being an entrepreneur is probably one of the greatest learning experiences one can have in life.
Yeah. I completely agree. And sometimes it's annoying. I'm just going to say that right now. Sometimes it's annoying, but most of the time it's rewarding.
And most of the time it's rewarding. Well, it has been a fantastic show. Thank you so much for coming on the air. We have about 2 minutes and 30, so I want to get to a couple things. Thank you. I really, really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, this was a blast. I had a great time, and thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Okay, next week we are going to have the lovely and wonderful Edie Weinstein on. I'm so excited. She is also a phenomenal friend of Sean. I just adore her. So she's going to be on air next week. I'm so excited. And then, but right now we are going to play the information. I encourage you to get in touch with Lisa. I think she's phenomenal. And if you're looking for a business coach, social media strategist, there's plenty of business for everybody, so I encourage you to call her and see if she's the person for you. And so I'm going to play her commercial and then our outro, and we will talk to you next week. Have a great week, everybody.
If you're a business owner and social media scares or overwhelms you and feels more painful than fun, you likely don't have a proper strategy. If you don't have a well-thought-out strategy based on what you want, not what all the gurus tell you, you are missing out on all that social media can do for your business. Because the reality is, if you follow everyone else without listening to your own instincts, you'll look like everyone else who is following the same guru. Stop circling the social media drain. Let let's chat about how my love for strategy and efficiency and my extensive collection of resources can help you create a personalized strategy that will make your life easier, draw in more clients, and create more cash. I've done all the heavy lifting to bring you the tools, resources, and knowledge so we can design what works best for you. www.strategywithlisa.com. You've been listening to Love, Light, and Passion with Wendy Manganiello. Visit her at www.socialabundancemarketing.com.